Good evening, Visible Church. What a wonderful time of worship. How are you doing? Are you doing well? I know it's a difficult time. I know that things are not normal. Obviously, we're here, just the three of us and a couple of tech people. We're here to have service on a Wednesday night, which is, well, that's not normal. But it's getting to be somewhat normal. I hope you're doing well. And I'm going to be praying for you here in just a moment. I thank you for tuning in. If you want to, I don't know, is it like tuning in? Or is it just typing the right thing on the keyboard? But you're here. We're here. I've got a message I believe that God has put on my heart for this. In fact, this is a message I preached some time ago. Not here at Visible Church, but some time ago. And it just came to my mind that this is what you need. This is encouragement for the body of Christ tonight. And I'm going to begin with 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 3 and 4, where it says, "The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you." This message is for those who are going through a difficult time, for people who are facing a crisis, who are under attack, or for those who will be. If you don't feel stressed out and in a difficult position right now, someday you will be, and this message is for you as well. I have this word from the Lord, and the word is this: you are going to make it. You're going to make it. Amen. I have confidence. In fact, in verse 4, notice where it says, "We have confidence in the Lord concerning you." I have confidence, and I have a lot of reason for that confidence, and I'm going to go through many of those tonight. I am confidently saying to you, you will make it. Let every doubt be shattered. You are going to make it. How can I be so confident? Well, because I know some things. I know some things about the Lord, and I know some things about our church folks. I know some things about you. So I've put together some of the reasons why I am confident that you are going to make it. And quite honestly, why I am going to make it. I'm going to make it too. Number one, I need you to understand this. The devil is a liar. Amen. Yeah, let me say that again. The devil is a liar. And when you get into a crisis, when you're in the middle of a hard place and you're under attack, he's the one who is telling you, whispering in your ear, and sometimes even louder than that, you're not going to make it. You're going to fail. You'll never crawl out of this hole. Things are never going to be the same as they were before. Things are always going to be worse than what you were expecting. That's what the devil speaks to you. Again, he is a liar. And I have all the confidence in the world and in the Lord that the devil is wrong and I am right. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that I can have confidence, that we can have confidence because of who you are. And Lord, I pray that you help this message to find its place in the heart of those who are struggling, in the heart of those who even if they're not really in a very difficult place, that they don't feel they're in a very difficult place now, but that it would settle in their heart so that when they do find themselves in that spot, they can bring this to remembrance, that your Spirit will remind them of the truth, of the facts that we're going to go through tonight. And I pray all of this for the sake of the body of Jesus Christ, watching wherever they may be. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, again, you are going to make it. I'm confident because I know some things about the Lord and I know some things about you also. But what gives me that confidence is that he has revealed things in his word, and he has shown us things by experience that can put us in a comfortable place, put us in a place of rest and peace, even in the most difficult of situations. The first thing I want to mention is you are going to make it. I'm confident of that because you were found by God's grace. You were found by God's grace. That's the first thing I know that gives me the confidence to say, definitely, you are going to make it. Come on. You absolutely know, without a doubt, that you are saved. Amen? Amen. That means that you belong to Jesus. You are the property of the Lord. And I'm here today in church serving the Lord, not because I was looking for Jesus, but because Jesus was looking for me. Praise God. Every one of you who is saved has that same testimony. God's grace found you. He found you, whether it was in an ivory tower or whether it was in a dirty, crummy ditch. God found you. His grace looked for you and found you. I mean, honestly, you didn't find Jesus. You didn't find Jesus. Jesus found you. Jesus wasn't the one that was lost. Amen? He was not lost. You were lost, and Jesus sought you out by his grace. Now, you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. And yet he sought me out, and he sought you out. It's his grace. Think about Paul, you know, Saul of Tarsus. Think of what a life he was leading. Oh, he was religious. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he was doing all he could to stamp out this new weird religious sect that was taking over Israel. Paul was willing to see people killed in order to maintain what he thought was the right standard for the nation. As he was on his way to Damascus to see others rounded up and arrested and thrown into prison, well, you know the story. On the Damascus Road, the Lord came and shone a great light and knocked him off of his ride and blinded his eyes. And here's an interesting thing. While Saul was persecuting the believers of Jesus Christ, he thought he was persecuting those individuals. But Jesus said to him, "Saul, why do you persecute me? Why are you persecuting me?" You know this, when anybody or the devil comes against you, Jesus takes it personally. He takes it personally. You might look at Paul's salvation and you might think, well, that was a rather extreme case, right? 1 Timothy, let's look at some. I'm going to go through a good deal of scripture tonight. So hopefully, if you don't have your Bible with you, write these down so that you can refer to them later. 1 Timothy, starting in chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. This is Paul in his testimony. He says, "I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And, listen to this, the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant." Grace found Paul. God's grace found Paul. "And with faith and love which are in Jesus Christ." He says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life." He's saying, the Lord is using my life, using my example as a pattern of his longsuffering, of his willingness to still follow and seek you out and bring you into a saving relationship with him. He is a pattern for those who are going to believe on Jesus Christ for everlasting life. Now, you may not have had a blinding light for your salvation experience. You may not have had a salvation as, or at least the concept as dramatic as Paul had, but make no mistake about it, you were saved by the same grace that Paul was saved by. God's grace searched for you, found you, and brought you into his kingdom. He saved you. When you were determined to take yourself to hell, right? He poured out grace abundantly on you. You may not have realized it at the time, but you were headed for hell. I mean, every step that you took in self-will was another step towards the lake of fire. And yet God's grace found you. Hallelujah. I mean, myself, I wasn't a preacher. I was a rock and roll DJ, you know, just living my own life. And the Lord, his grace found me. Hallelujah. Again, I wasn't looking for Jesus. He was looking for me. And you have the same story. You have the same testimony. The reason that you're a Christian today is because the grace of the Lord came and tracked you down and brought you into his kingdom. Now listen closely. If the grace of God sought you out when you were a low-life sinner, which we all were, the grace of God is not going to abandon you now in a difficult situation. No, he's going to stick with you, and you are going to make it. You are his child. Number two, I've got five of these. I'm just going to maybe quickly go through them. Number two, I know you are going to make it. I'm confident of that because you are valuable to God. You are valuable to God. You know, he didn't just seek you out with grace. He also purchased you with blood. He redeemed you. He redeemed you. We have that term in the Greek, agorazo. It means to go to the marketplace and purchase, to go shopping. Go shopping. See, when you go to the market and you see things, you might buy them. You see things that are on sale and you might like something and you want to have that, so you'll purchase it. That is, if you have enough that you can. See, you can redeem it. That's the word. You can redeem it and it becomes yours. That's what agorazo means. And God, he went for a walk in the marketplace of humanity and he saw you. Yeah, you. He saw you and he decided he wanted that. He decided that after finding you, even bound in chains by the enemy on the auction block of sin, he wanted to purchase you. The devil already had his chains around you. The devil already had you where he wanted you. He had legal claim to your soul because of the sin. And eventually he's going to drag you off into his own hell. And in this marketplace, the law was presiding over it all. Yeah, the law had the whole affair in order. And in that marketplace, the law said going once, going twice, and then God spoke up and said, wait, I'll buy it. I'll buy them. Before you were sold to the devil, Jesus stepped in and said, I'll pay the price. The law said, oh, come on. Now, do you really know how much that's going to cost? And God said, be still. I know what the cost is. I'm willing to pay it. And he paid it with the blood of his only begotten son. Now, let's think about shopping. There are a lot of things. When you roam through the store, there are a lot of things that are on the shelves. And some of those things, I like going to, you know, like the big electronics stores. And I like looking around. And there are things that I would really like to have. But I look at the price. And I go, yeah, not this time. Or maybe not ever. And there are a lot of expensive things in the world. You know, you could look at diamonds or you know, great works of art. Stradivarius, violin. You ever buy one of those? Me neither. Because I couldn't afford one of those. There are a lot of expensive things in the world. That Maserati that you would really like to be zooming around the streets in. Yeah, that's expensive stuff. But here's the truth. There's only one thing in the universe that God considers expensive. One thing. It's you. It's you. And think about, I mean, this is God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills, and he owns it all. And yet the only thing that was expensive for God was you. Psalm 49:8. It says, the redemption of souls is costly. How true. The redemption of souls is costly. is costly. Have you ever heard that saying, if you have to ask, you can't afford it? You know, it's like if you are so concerned about what the price might be, you probably can't afford it. I know when I go to one of the higher end restaurants on a rare occasion, and I'm sitting there and I'm looking at the menu and I'm going down the list, and instead of a price next to the thing, I think, ooh, that sounds good. It just says market price. Meaning like, well, I don't know what that costs. And you know, those who have more than enough money, they just say, oh, give me that. They don't care what the price is. They just want it. Well, I tell you this, the ransom for a life is costly. Don't think for a moment that you could possibly pay for it yourself. And even more ridiculous is to think that you could earn your way or give with great offerings your way into heaven, or even sillier, that somebody else could do it for you, or, you know, pray for you to get out of purgatory or something like that. You could never obtain salvation for yourself or for anybody else. You couldn't afford it. You couldn't pay the price. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where did God put his treasure? He put it in you. He put it in you when he invested the blood of his only son for you. God has proven that his heart is toward you. And don't you ever doubt it. Don't ever doubt it. With a revelation of the blood, of the expensive nature of God's extravagant spending spree for you, with just a little revelation of that, you can defeat the enemy. You can defeat the devil every time. I hope you're beginning to see some of the reasons why I am so confident that you will make it. You know, in difficult times, there's a lot of questions. There are a lot of concerns. There are all kinds of shifting sand, so to speak, that we're trying to get a grip on. And when we're in that time, we've got to go back to the truth that Jesus is our answer. He is the solid rock. He is the reason that we can have faith. He is the reason that we can stay stable and be at peace even in the most difficult of circumstances. If you're a little unsettled right now, let me tell you, you're going to make it. And you can be at peace. Let me give you another reason why I am so confident that you will make it. Number three, God loves you with a never-ending love. He loves you. Ephesians 3. Oh, I love this passage. Ephesians 3, verse 14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according, remember, he could afford you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, this is the love we're talking about, may be able to comprehend with all the saints that, or what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, I often think about how much God loves me, and I don't know how I could even begin to comprehend the depth and the width and the height and all that it's talking about, the length that God will go to. I don't know how I could comprehend that. I don't know that it is comprehensible with the human mind. I think you can only know something you couldn't know humanly through revelation. We need to know with a revelatory knowledge how much God loves us. It is beyond anything that you could think or imagine, and yet you can know it. It says here that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints How wide? What has his love wide enough to embrace the whole world? The length of his love is long enough to last for eternity. The depth of his love will reach into the deepest pit of sin to be pulling you out. And the height of his love, high enough to take us all the way to heaven. Hallelujah. The Apostle James said that we all stumble in many ways. Yeah, I know. It's not a happy verse, James 3:2. But you, even when you stumble, you are totally encompassed by the love of God. So that if you fall, his love will catch you. His love will catch you. You may fall, but you're not going to fall out of his love. See, that's good news for anyone. In Deuteronomy 33:27, it says that the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Yeah, there to support you. Now, I have been walking with the Lord for a long time. I've stopped trying to figure out how many years. It's almost embarrassing. But I've been following the Lord for a long time, and in all those years, there have been days when I've stumbled. There have been. But never once have I fallen out of the love of God. Never once. I've always been caught by the everlasting arms of God's love. And I know what to do when I fall. When I fall, like Micah 7:8 says, when I fall, I will arise. I will arise. It says, in fact, it starts out by saying, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. So if you find yourself in a place that you didn't intend to be, you've fallen in some way or fashion, just know, devil, don't start rejoicing over me, because when I fall, I am going to rise. I am going to rise. When I sit in darkness, it says, the Lord will be a light to me. When I fall down, I'm going to get back up. Though I may be down, I'm not out of the love of God. Now, when you need a miracle from God, when things are difficult, don't let anyone tell you that the good thing that you need, the good thing that is necessary, don't let anyone let you believe that it's not God's will for you to have his grace and his goodness. You are a child of God. You are precious to him. You are loved and held by the encompassing arms of love, his everlasting love for you. You're going to make it. You are going to make it. The fourth reason I'm so confident that you're going to make it is you have the spirit of a warrior. You know, the devil is always roaming around seeking whom he may devour. We know that. The devil doesn't want to just spoil your day. I'm telling you, he wants to destroy your life. He's not letting up on the gas pedal just to say, well, let's take it easy today. No. You, my friends, are targets. Why? Because you're a child of God. Because you are loved by God. Because you were created in the image of God, Satan hates everything about you. He hates everything that belongs to God. He hates everything that is loved by God. He hates everything that has any resemblance to God. And that's you, created in his image. Take a look at Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. I told you we were going to look at a bunch of scripture tonight. I mean, if you want confidence that you're going to make it, get into the Word of God. The more you read it, the more you're going to discover just how well off you are. Here it is. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, or viruses. I just threw that in there. Or any other thing. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, listen, in all of these things, whether you have been under persecution, whether you have been struck down with sickness or in distress or tribulation or if there's a famine, all of those things, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yeah, in this time of social isolation, You're a conqueror. This is not going to overtake you. This is not going to drag you down, because you are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And it goes on in verse 38. For I am persuaded. You might say he is confident. Like, I am confident in you. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, man. Now, you can be sure hell is going to fight you on this. They're going to fight you tooth and toenail. Going to try and convince you that every blessing and every promise that you claim just isn't going to come about. But you are more than a match. You are more than a match for whatever hell can muster when you are in Christ. Oh yeah, that's why I'm confident. That's why I know this seems like it's a tough time that we're all experiencing at the moment. And I have to admit, it is rather unusual. And it is something that we've not experienced, at least not like this, before. But we're more than conquerors. This is not bigger than Christ who lives in us. This is not stronger than Jesus who lives in us. No, we are more than conquerors. And remember, you already have a track record. You've already gone through some things before, and God has delivered you before, has he not? I know he has, and he's going to do it again. You know, it's the hard times that produce the great testimonies. It's going through these difficult times. It'll be very interesting when we're beyond this. I was going to say, you know, in a couple of months or six, I don't know how this is all going to pan out in the time frame. But when it's all said and done and everybody's getting back to a normal life, you're going to look back on this and say, you know what? It's God that brought me through. I shouldn't have had that concern. I shouldn't have been so worried. God is watching over me and over my family. Mm-hmm. The sweetest victories come when we've gone through the hardest battles. I might think about it. Who wants to go to heaven without any scars? You know, when you're standing right next to the Apostle Paul and you see, you know, the scar on his forehead from when that stone whacked him, and you see where he was beaten, and you see the scars that he has all over his body because he was following hard after the Lord, and the Lord protected him in all of that. You don't want to be the guy there that was just got no scars at all. I mean, I wouldn't want to be that. I'd feel sheepish. Well, I might feel sheepish anyway, standing in front of the Apostle Paul, but nonetheless, I have all the confidence in the Lord, and you are going to make it, because my fifth point, you know the truth. You know the truth. I know you're going to make it because you know too much to lose this fight. You know too much. You're a true believer. You know too much. See, the devil's picking on the wrong crowd. Yeah. This isn't the crowd you want to do battle with. I mean, we're not the weak-kneed, sissy, sandbox kind of Christians that can be out there. We are true believers. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. But that's not you. That's not you. You know, you have an understanding. You have revelation. And you know what? When you have revelation, I mean God-given revelation about who he is and about who you are in him, when you have that revelation, it just shrinks the devil. It expands God and it shrinks the devil. Remember that old movie, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids? Well, you, with the revelation that you get from the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit, you can look at Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, I shrunk the devil. See, the devil is magnified in darkness and confusion and by deception. When you're going through a difficult time, if you've got your eyes in the wrong place, the devil will seem really big. the problems will seem really big. The difficulties ahead, the future will seem very daunting, and you'll be concerned. But revelation of who God is and what he has done for you and what he will do for you, well, that removes all of the secrecy. That brightens the situation. It takes away the deception. It gives you a clear view of what you can expect in life. Revelation reveals the devil for the fraud that he is. I like it in Isaiah 14:16. There's a scripture that talks about the day when one day we're all going to see the devil for what he really is. And it says this: those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the whole earth tremble? I believe we're going to end up seeing, at least understanding who the devil has been. And we're going to go, that was it? That was the big guy that was supposed to take us all out? That puny thing? Yeah, the devil is a liar. I tell you, we are not fighting a BC before Christ devil. We are fighting an AD, an already defeated devil. So you can be confident. You're going to make it. You will win. You know the truth. You've been taught faith and victory. You've been taught how to overcome. You have been taught not just to survive and get by and hope you make it to heaven. You have been taught that you are victorious and that Jesus leads you in triumphant victory. I mean, you know how to fight and you know how to win, right? You know, you've won before, and we're learning more each day. We're getting stronger, and we're getting smarter, and we are just growing in what is needed in order to overcome in every situation. I thank God for it. So I am confident, I'm wrapping it up. I am confident. I am sure that you are going to make it, and I'm going to make it. And whatever difficulty you may be facing and whatever fear might be haunting you in the nighttime, you can set that aside and say, in the name of Jesus, I am going to make it. I have seen what he is and who he is and how he loves me and how his grace sought after me. See, you are valuable to God beyond all things. You are encompassed in his everlasting arms. You have the spirit of a warrior. Hallelujah. And you know the truth. And you need to keep reminding yourself of that. And that's all this is. I'm sure I didn't share a whole lot of new, all of a sudden, you'd never heard that before. No, I'm just here to remind you of these things. Sometimes we can get caught up in life, get caught up in our struggles, get caught up in ourself. And we lose sight of all that God has already shown us. So this is just a reminder. And if you're not so sure about any of this, then at least just believe me, because I'm confident you're going to make it. I am absolutely confident you are going to make it. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us tonight at Visible Church. I'm looking forward to the third episode of the Lift series with Pastor Ben on Sunday morning. We'll see you then. God bless. Go in peace. Yeah, big applause sign.
I know.
Well, I like it that you liked it.
Yeah!